Stories are told of a mysterious woman wearing a blue polka dot dress trying to hitch a ride along the roads around Logan, West Virginia. This particular tale, though, is about a real person who was murdered in the coal fields. You're listening to Mountain Lore, Tales from Appalachia. Now, Gina, today's tale, which is a little bit history and a little bit folklore, comes from Logan, West Virginia, and it involves a woman named Mamie Thurman.
Sounds styling. Blue polka dot.
Oh, more than that. Blue polka dot dress, bright red lipstick, the latest makeup. Oh, yeah. She was styling.
Or something. Yeah.
Well, you might be asking, who is Mamie Thurman?
Yeah, I did ask that in my roundabout way.
Okay. Well, she was born in Kentucky on February 12, 1900. She and her husband, Jack, moved to Logan in 1924. And immediately, Mamie began attracting all kinds of attention, and not necessarily the good kind. You see, while Mamie maintained a quiet, church-going persona during the day, even working at the Nybert Memorial Church, when she went out at night, which was quite often, she became a rather flashy woman who liked to put on tight dresses, wear bright red lipstick, and wear lots of makeup. I guess in the 20s, that would probably make her like a flapper, don't you think?
Something like that.
Yeah. Mamie Thurman, folks said, became a sex-crazed beauty who was a regular at a place called the Amour Club, a speakeasy and house of prostitution.
Oh, okay.
Now, there were rumors around town that Mamie was sleeping around with at least a dozen or so prominent Logan men.
Oh.
And Jack was unaware. See, Jack was a Logan police officer who worked the night shift, the very time Mamie would be putting on her sexy outfits and going out and partying. The Thurmans lived in an apartment there in Logan that was owned by a couple in town named Harry and Louise Robertson. Mamie and Jack's landlord, Harry, was a well-respected banker in town, as well as a member of the Logan City Commission. And the Thurmans and the Robertsons soon began getting together socially, becoming really good friends. Oh, and so did Mamie Thurman and Harry Robertson. Very good friends. By 1930, the two began running around on their respective spouses, aided by a black man named Clarence Stevenson. Now, Stevenson lived in Harry's attic, and he was kind of like the handyman around the house. You know, he'd mow and weed and do other odd jobs, and also care for the Robertson's hounds, which he would take to Harry for fox hunts for him. Harry liked to fox hunt, by the way. And now he had a new job, driving Ms. Mamie to her rendezvous with Harry Robertson in his Model A Ford.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, for 2 years, things went off without a hitch. Neither Jack Thurman nor Louise Robertson suspected a thing.
Wow.
Until the spring of 1932. On June 21st, 1932, a deaf-mute teenager, Garland Davis, was out on Trace Mountain just outside Logan picking blueberries. As the boy came up to a drainage ditch, a blood-stained blue polka dot dress caught his attention. It was Mamie Thurman. Mamie had two bullets in her head. Her neck was broken, her throat slashed ear to ear, and her face battered. At the same time, her purse was still there with $9 and a wristwatch in it, and she still had her diamond engagement ring and her wedding band on her finger. Yeah, whoever did this, Gina, didn't do it for the money. He or she wanted her to hurt before she died. As soon as Mamie's body was found, the first place the police looked was the Robertson house. There they found bloodstains in the Model A that Clarence used to chauffeur Mamie to her meetings with Harry. Blood was also found on rags in the basement of the house, as was a razor. The police arrested both Harry Robertson and Clarence Stevenson, and took them off to the local jail. At a preliminary hearing, Harry told all in his testimony. He described his sexual dalliances with Mamie, saying that he would tell his wife that he and Clarence were going off fox hunting, then load their guns into the Model A and head off to meet Harry's lover. Harry also told the court of a list that Mamie had given him containing the names of 16 Logan area men with whom she had been intimate. Harry disclosed that of those 16, one was dead, 13 lived in Logan, and all were married except for one.
Uh-oh.
The names on the list were never revealed, though. There were rumors that many of the men on the list were named to the grand jury.
Mm-hmm.
I guess his insurance policy, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Robertson also testified that the last time he saw Mamie was the day she was killed. He left his house shortly after seeing her to take his children to a swimming pool at Stallings. Later that evening, he went to the smokehouse to listen to a prize fight with his son and was home about 9 o'clock. That's his story. But his wife later confirmed what he said.
Mm-hmm.
In September, the grand jury, the same one rumored to have been filled with Mamie's lovers, issued indictments against Clarence Stevenson, but not against his boss, Harry.
Hmm.
So Harry went free, and Clarence was put on trial for Mamie's murder.
Aww.
And what a trial it was. An investigation turned up links between the deceased Mamie and several of Logan's most prominent citizens, so the trial became a must-see event. The courtroom became standing room only, with many of those in attendance to watch bringing their own comfy chairs and packing a lunch. At trial, the blood evidence was introduced, and witnesses came forward saying they'd seen Clarence driving near where the body had been discovered. You might be asking, how did they know it was Clarence Stevenson?
Uh-huh.
Well, he had a distinctive look about him, since he was very short, less than 5 feet tall, and had facial deformities due to a car accident he'd been in. Ironically, the accident not only left him with scars on his face, it also caused him to suffer from nosebleeds, which his side said could have explained the blood on the rags and in the Model A. In addition, a parade of defense witnesses accounted for Clarence's whereabouts for the entire day that Mamie was killed. The jury, however, didn't care about any of that. After less than an hour, the jury came back with a guilty verdict against Clarence Stevenson, even though he forcefully maintained his innocence. Local churches got in touch with the NAACP to raise funds for an appeal, but the appellate court upheld the trial court. Clarence developed stomach cancer and died in prison on April 24, 1942. Now, over the years, there's been much speculation on who was really responsible, if Clarence was, as he maintained, completely innocent. Louise Robertson was one suspect, as was Mamie's husband, Jack Thurman, although Jack was ruled out because he was working in another part of town at the time of the murder. Many have also pointed to a setup by the Ku Klux Klan, who certainly would have been upset over Mamie Thurman having sex with a black man, which was rumored to have happened. Nobody really knows what happened that night. But Mamie has been quite a mystery in death.
Oh?
For one thing, nobody is quite sure where she is.
Oh.
Her death certificate says she was buried at Logan Memorial Park, but other records say that's not so. Those papers indicate her final resting place is in Bradfordville, Kentucky. None of that matters anyway, because you aren't likely to see her in either place. For that, you need to go to 22 Mine Road in Logan County, West Virginia. Now, you're not going to see her body there. That's not where she's buried. But it's said that if you happen to be driving down that road, you ought to be on the lookout for a very attractive lady looking to hitch a ride with you. It might be your lucky day, unless she's wearing a blue polka dot dress that perfectly matches the bright red lipstick she's wearing. For it might be the ghost of Mamie Thurman, haunting the hills and hollers of that part of Appalachia. She's been seen hiding out from who knows what in old abandoned hunting cabins, or just walking up and down the roads aimlessly around Trace Mountain.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, whee!
See, that's one of those ghost stories. You kind of got to go back and tell the actual factual events of what led to the person's death. Because, you know, if she was actually killed up there in Trace Mountain, then that's where her spirit's attached. It can't get away from there.
Yep, exactly. Well, that makes perfect sense. But, wow. That's sad in a lot of different ways.
Well, this was a woman that liked excitement, and apparently she got more excitement than she bargained for.
Yeah, that's true. Wow. Well, I guess the people of Logan have heard this quite a bit, too, then.
Yeah, it's a very common story up there.
Okay.
Yeah. And that story of the lady in the blue polka dot dress is part of the folklore of this place we call home, Appalachia. Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the Mountain Lore podcast in a whole bunch of ways. Apple Podcasts, for example. Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, Good Pods, Google Play, or on your favorite podcast app. Till next time, y'all take care. Sweet dreams, podcast listeners.